Thanks, Alistair. Well, good morning. In our reading today, Paul wants the Thessalonians to stand. And when I say stand, I'm really talking, of course, about their faith. Do they trust God? That's what Paul didn't know when he was stuck in Athens. He couldn't get back and he couldn't stand it. Look with me at chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Paul and Silas and Timothy say they could stand it no longer, and so, verse 2, they sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage the Thessalonians in their faith. And then again in verse 5, when I, Paul, could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. Do they trust God? We read on from verse 6. Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought us good news about your faith and love. They literally wrote, he's evangelized us. He's brought us great news. Therefore, we're encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live because you are standing firm in the Lord. This is bombshell news. It's not unexpected, but it's against all of their fears. It's good news about the Thessalonians' faith and love. They're trusting God and united to the Lord Jesus. And that good news about their faith motivates Paul's prayers for them. In verse 10, he says that if they're standing, well, he wants to supply whatever they need to stand, whatever help they want. And he prayed in verse 13, may the Lord strengthen your hearts. Paul asks God to make them solid. Earnestly, night and day, he's praying for them so that they'll be able to continue to bear their trials, but actually much more, so that they'll be able to continue to bear the presence of God. He wants them to make good choices when they're tempted, so that they'll be blameless and holy in God's presence. Imagine that you've been invited to take tea with the Queen. Would you clean your nails? Would you polish your shoes? Would you just wear any old shirt? Paul wants the Thessalonians to be presentable to God, blameless and holy in the presence of God. And so he keeps asking the Lord to make them solid Christians who are going to be able to stand in God's presence without running away. Paul wants them to stand. Now, when year 12 sit their next exams pretty soon, there's one in the room actually, there are some nervous people in New South Wales. We all want these kids to hit those exams for six, but actually there's lots of other nervous people as well. It would be so much easier, really, if the teachers took the exams. But actually, the kids are the ones who have to face the tests, and they can't have help. That's the position Paul finds himself in. He can't help the Thessalonians, and he knows that they're going to face testing, and he wants them to succeed, and he's nervous. Well, how are our hearts going in our own tests? What is making you doubt God's faithfulness? You're cut off from people at this time. I mean, Facebook, which is surely the epitome of loving people at a distance, has felt the need to bring in a new button to say, look, I love you, I care about you, but it's from a distance now. Here's a hug from far away. How many of us want to supply what's lacking in each other's faith? And I'm not talking about a hierarchy where some of us get to feel good by talking down to you. I mean mutual support and encouragement and rebuke. How many of us have the grace to take a hard word from a brother or a sister? God wants us to stand. Paul wanted the Thessalonians to stand. He couldn't stand it if they weren't standing. And that moves us on to our second point this morning. Paul couldn't stand it if the Thessalonians couldn't stand because the good news about Jesus creates an us. Faith in Jesus makes us us. Last week and this week, there were lots of family words in the passage. I don't know if you noticed. Brothers and sisters keeps coming up. Paul described his work as being like a mother or like a father. And now he says, we were orphaned by being separated from you. The roles are all mixed up, but what's important is that they're family. We are family. It doesn't matter which bit of family is doing what, because God is our Father, because Jesus is our Lord, we are family. There's so much emotion in this passage. There's intense longing and making every effort and not being able to stand it. And then when the good news comes, there's more emotion. Oh, you long to see us just as we long to see you. How can we thank God enough for you, for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? God has made Paul and the Thessalonians love one another deeply. The gospel, faith in Jesus, has created a new family. Faith and love go together. In verse 6, because the Thessalonians trust the Lord Jesus, they love him. And because they love him, they love those who told them about him. Because Paul loves Jesus, he told the Thessalonians about Jesus, and he longs to help them to follow him. Now, this is costly love. It was painful to be so concerned. It was love that drove Paul and Timothy to split up so they could find out what was going on. But they had to know because it was life and death. Now we live, since you're standing firm in the Lord. In the Lord, we are together. Because we have faith, we love. We trust God and we love his people. We're a new family. You can buy birthday cards with all sorts of different words. But in our family, we tend not to buy the ones with the interesting words. We tend to buy blank cards and then write on them because my wife wants a card that I've written. We value our children's words, even when they were very little, and really that just meant there was a scribble and then I got to write a little interpretive commentary on the card. Families value people, not outcomes. We're not just a group of people who pool the rent and the chores. We love one another. And so a card is not just a set of well-chosen words. They need to be our words. It hurt Paul to love the Thessalonians. To value them highly meant paying a price, but he says it was worth it. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have? What does it mean for us that God makes us a family? Well, first, trust in Jesus ought to foster our love. Does my trust in Jesus push me to love other people? Does our faith foster love? And secondly, are our relationships growing? Paul and the Thessalonians, they cared about each other, but they didn't just sort of grow cold and forget. That love grew. We ought to expect here at CCM that our relationships will grow. And yeah, sometimes that's going to be a step forward and then two steps back, or we'll take a step back so we can go forward, or we'll get stuck or whatever. But as we trust in Jesus' will for our life together, as we learn what it means to receive grace and to give grace, God wants us to have deep, real, sometimes painful connection. Faith in Jesus makes us a family, and our relationships and our love need to keep growing. We can see that it hurts, but we know it's right to love because we follow a rescuer whose love took him to the cross for us. And so Paul found joy. It's not just right to love, it's good to love. Paul found joy in serving Jesus and in loving the Thessalonians. Jesus endured the cross, we're told, for the joy that was set before him. It wasn't cold family duty that he was exercising. It was love. Faith in Jesus as our rescuer ought to foster love for him and for each other as God makes us a family. I want to finish this morning with that family in sight, because Paul has a really clear goal, and he keeps that goal in mind. He keeps his eyes on the prize. Paul's goal is to be together when Jesus comes. Paul explained in verses 19 and 20 why he valued the Thessalonians so highly. For what is our hope our joy, or the crown in which we'll glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes. Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. Paul was looking forward to Jesus' coming. Now, I don't think this just means that there were notches on his Bible. Okay, he had the honour of telling them about Jesus. Paul said, when he comes, we will have so much joy to have you there with us. Now, he doesn't say, well, yes, Jesus is going to be there. I'll be there, of course. And, you know, they might get to be there with me. No, no, he says, I'm so keen to show you guys off to Jesus. That's the goal that he had in mind, and he was keeping his eyes on that goal. We see it again at the end of the passage, when he talks again about when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Paul wanted them to be ready. Are you going to be holy? Are you going to be one of his holy ones? Night and day he was praying earnestly that he would be able to help them get ready. He values them and he's looking forward to the end. In verses 11 to 13, because God was in control, Paul prayed. Because God is bringing everything under Jesus' lordship, Paul prayed. Because the Thessalonians' love should be growing, Paul prayed. Because he wanted to be with Jesus and with the Thessalonians in the presence of God, holy and blameless, with great joy, Paul prayed. Here and now, Paul prayed that the Lord would make the Thessalonians' love increase for one another as a family. And he prayed that their love would overflow to other people as well. And he was confident to pray that because he knew that's what the Holy Spirit was doing in his heart. So he says, just as our love overflows and grows for you. That's a here and now reality. We ought to be people who love each other and who love the people around us. And that's going to be difficult and costly at times. It's going to involve distress and suffering. But it will be good for us and we will find joy here and now. And Paul is looking forward to Jesus coming here. And so we're to be blameless and holy here and now because Jesus is going to bring holiness here then. God's love growing and overflowing in us, among us, out from us, will bring joy here and now and here then. Really, Paul's looking forward to a family reunion. He's looking forward to one of those big banquet parties where all of the family have come and everyone gets together and you get to swap the stories of what's been going on, and it's just fantastic. Jesus will be there. Paul will be there. The Thessalonians will be there. We will look at our spiritual children and grandchildren and we'll be able to say, gosh, look at you. Haven't you grown? We will meet the people who have invested in our lives and we'll be able to say, at last I can thank you properly. Paul knows that there is a party coming. There is a family reunion coming and it will be wonderful. Sometimes we can't stand it now, but it's going to be great. So let's keep our eyes on the prize. Jesus is coming with all his holy ones. It'll be fantastic. We can love now. We can love if the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. We want to make good choices. Good because we're loving other people. Not because they give us pleasure or avoid pain. Good because they honour other people. We want to give grace to those who need it. There's plenty for us to be doing here and now to be ready for here then. Faith in Jesus makes us a family, and one day there's going to be a fantastic family reunion. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come together. May the Lord make our love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. May he strengthen our hearts so that we will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with his holy ones. Amen.